Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Montero! Argentina campeón del mundo. Argentina campeón del mundo.
Because you feel a bit worried for him, don't you? You might remember that moment, Lionel Messi's Argentina winning last year's World Cup. That's the commentator Andreas Castor giving us one of the great moments in sports broadcasting. Today we're going to talk commentary, taking a closer look at how it varies across different countries and different sports, very importantly. And I'm joined for this by RTE Sports' Damien O'Mara. Damien, you're very welcome. Good to
Hi,
have
Claire,
you here.
Hi Claire, how are you?
Now, you have had great fun, I think.
I have the sequel to this item ready to go already.
Delighted to hear it. Now, have you ever tried that though, the South American style goal celebration? You know, if you're doing the hurling or the football.
No, I won't lie to you. There's not a Ventolin inhaler on the market that would enable me to be able to do something like that. It's just so unique and so South American. And it's one of these ones, I think probably every kid growing up, if you had a remote interest in football, you tried it at some stage, didn't you?
Yes, you Maybe did. Not. But you can't get away with it here, really. That's what you're saying, isn't it?
And like, so you mentioned there Andreas Castor. The best thing about this is the clip of him also went viral because they had a camera, the GoPro in front of him. So the commentary itself is brilliant. But the emotion of a guy who grew up in Argentina, went to live in the States, came back to Argentina, and having waited so long to see them win the World Cup. But he's like the custodian of the elongated goal. I'm not going to try and do it at any stage over this item.
Wouldn't ask it.
Thanks very much.
You.
Well, we could give it a shot together towards the end. But it's just so unique, so South American. And like everything in the media, has been robbed and used by everyone else along the way.
Well, let's go to Victor Hugo Morales, because this is back in 1986, Diego Maradona's famous goal. Not the one perhaps that comes to mind, firstly, the handball. It's the other one against England, 1986. Let's have a listen.
Ahí la tiene Maradona, lo marcan dos, pisa la pelota Maradona, arranca por la derecha el genio del fútbol mundial, y es el tercero a tocar para Borruchaga siempre Maradona, genio, ta.
Sounds like a horse race in the beginning of that.
There's two things about this item. One is the quality of broadcast technology has got an awful lot better, because a lot of these clips, you can't quite make out what they're saying. So that's obviously Mexico 86, when Maradona went past every member of the English team on his way to goal. We have the sports department downstairs. We have iconic Irish sports commentary clips on the wall. And the biggest of the lot of them is Jimmy McGee. Different class. So that's obviously, you know, the height of 86 in Mexico. The elongated goal can be traced back to the 40s. So there was a Brazilian commentator, Rebelo Jr., on radio back in the 40s, who brought this in. And obviously, the fact back then is that sports commentary was such a new discipline on radio. The story goes that he would do a short goal if it was a good chance, and if it was a better chance, it would be a slightly longer goal. Mm-hmm. And then when the goal was eventually scored, he would go on. But you have to imagine how much practice must go into this.
Lots of time in front of the mirror, can you imagine?
Having the lung capacity ready to go. But I think, you know, the last World Cup, I think, really did something. So maybe, I don't know, was it social media? Was it the novelty of having the World Cup on when it was on, or just special results along the way? I think it did much more for people buying in or maybe being exposed to the native commentary clips from around the world, because with so many great moments in the last World Cup, which kind of social media lent it to that.
And that brings us to the next one, which is from a Saudi Arabian commentator, is it?
Yeah, so basically, I think one of the key moments in the last World Cup was Saudi Arabia beat Argentina on the third day of the World Cup.
Yes.
And we had all bought into this idea that, okay, there were obvious questions about Qatar and their staging of the World Cup, which was all very justified, but the group stages had been changed. And we all thought we had this week of inconsequential games that you could pick each group who was going to advance. And then Saudi Arabia caused the shock of all shocks.
Let's listen to this.
Allah!
feel like we need those defibrillators in the phone boxes at some stage for this.
So obviously the elongated goal has been replaced by the elongated Allah. So the commentary of the clip is like there's multiple chants of Allah, and then it's this is history, this is history, this is history. Mm-hmm. And it's just that unbridled nature of getting completely caught up in the moment of, and you know, that for Saudi Arabia, that was Saudi Arabia's Italia 90 for us.
Absolutely. Well, we have our own history makers bringing this back home, don't we, when it comes to sports commentary?
Yeah, and we've got quite a unique place in sports commentary as a nation. The first ever match broadcast in Europe was on 2RN. Paddy Meagan, he was known as Carberry. He was a well-known GAA journalist in the print media back in the 20s, broadcast the All-Ireland hurling semi-final between Kilkenny and Galway. The BBC at the time, like the BBC's first soccer commentary was in January 1927. They weren't allowed to do commentaries on the radio up to that because the newspaper industry was such an important part of maybe UK influence that it was felt that if you did live sport on the radio, you would then affect the newspaper sales the following morning because people wouldn't need to buy.
And they had the power, the newspaper industry at the time, to make sure that that wasn't happening.
100%. So basically, first broadcast on 2RN, first match in Europe in 1926, and then first soccer match in England wasn't until 1927. I was kind of conscious, going back through the archives, I didn't want to come in and just have loads of clips of Irish commentators. And then you start to step away from it and you go, well, actually, there are areas around the world where we've had significant influence, and like Micheál O'Hare, you know, Grand National commentary, for example, you cannot do an item like this or cannot talk about the Grand National without including Micheál O'Hare.
And this is what we're going to hear now, one of the classic horse racing moments, and this is the voice of Micheál O'Hare.
With Rutherford's along the inside, and Rutherford has been hampered, and so has Castle Falls, Rochetto has fallen, Principal has fallen, Norther has fallen, Curtain Lad has fallen, the Fossa has fallen, there's a right pile up, Leesy has climbed over the fence and left his jockey there, and now with all this mayhem, Fornavon has gone off on his own. He's about 50, 100 yards in front of everything else.
Now, what we learn from that is that man did his homework.
Oh, this is phenomenal. So this, and again, when The Guardian and the BBC and other outlets compiled the greatest ever sports commentaries, this always features very prominently. So Fornavon was 100-1 shot, wasn't in the reckoning for the Grand National at all. They come to the 23rd race, fence in the race, and literally a third of the field collapses. And all out of a sudden, without even losing breath, as we've heard, Micheál O'Hare kicks into gear with Fornavon. He's told the story. He had told the story time and time again that basically he had this forensic task of remembering the colours of the horses, and would start out like weeks, months in advance, and was in the weigh room watching the jockeys come out before the race. And all of a sudden, this black and red combination appeared in front of him that completely stumped him.
That didn't figure in his homework.
Sidles up to the jockey to be told, oh no, this is Fornavon and ran in green previously. The owners didn't fancy the green colours, so we've switched it up today. And like I think that there's, you know, he famously spoke about it on the Late Late Show with Gay Byrne back in the 60s and basically said, well, like, it was prep and this is what you do. But you don't do it.
Making it look easy.
Exactly.
Right?
You don't do it without having the prep. So yeah, the great Micheál O'Hare and probably one of the iconic Grand National moments.
Let's move on then. 10 years after that, 1977, here's Peter O'Sullivan.
Red Rum being preceded only by Loose Horses, being chased by Church Gone Boy. Ike Catchum has moved into third and the Phil Garlick fourth. They're coming to the elbow. There's a furlong now between Red Rum and his third Grand National triumph. And he's coming up to the line to win it like a fresh horse in great style. His hat's off and a tremendous reception. You've never heard one like it at Liverpool. Red Rum wins the National.
Peter O'Sullivan there, the first sports broadcaster to be knighted. But contrasting with the pace of horse racing commentary, Damien, we have cricket. And whatever about being able to commentate for a couple of seconds, 70 minutes, 80 minutes, 90 minutes, when you have to commentate for 5 days, it can mean filling a lot of time. So what happens?
So Test Match Special, which has been on air since 1957 across the BBC World Service and Radio 4, it has such a cult following. If you go to YouTube, there are like full 9-hour videos of their matches. Now, the difficulty is, this is actually the one that I had to really struggle to get a clip that was going to go by your censors, because the amount of double entendres, either intentional or unintentional, that came along the way. So basically, and I'll be honest, you put a couple of men in a room for 7 or 8 hours, the conversation sometimes veers towards
a
little bit of messing, some intentional, some unintentional, as Brian Johnson and Jonathan Agnew once got cut out.
He tried to do the splits over it, and unfortunately, the inner part of his thigh must have just removed the bail.
Just didn't quite get his leg over.
Anyhow, He did very well indeed, batting 131 minutes and hit three fours. And then we had Lewis playing extremely well for his 47 not out. Angus, do stop it. Lawrence, always entertaining, batting for 35 minutes, hit a four over the wicketkeepers. Angus, for goodness sake, stop it.
Yes, Lawrence.
And they're gone. And yeah, they're off. Really they're well. Gone.
Now, anyone who has sat in a situation like you and I are sitting in now knows how often that can happen.
Oh, it's not good.
I genuinely could have had 10 clips similar to that. The most famous one of the lot is the West Indies played England at one stage and Michael Holding was playing against Peter Willey. And the clip, again, casually in conversation, the batsman's holding the bowler's Willey. Now this
Damien.
Is one of these. It's happened on the radio, Claire.
Okay, don't leave men together in a room for days and days on
True
end.
True story.
This is where it descends. Now across the Atlantic, we have baseball, right, and that goes on for hours and has created, hasn't it, some iconic commentators and moments.
Yeah. So the Americans can obviously go showbiz on all of these. Probably the most famous of all is Harry Carey, who was the Chicago. Now he had like a 50-year career, 52 years broadcasting baseball. Was a Chicago Cubs fan and eventually ended up covering the White Sox and the Cubs. So much so that there is like a massive statue of him in caricature form outside Wrigley Field. You can still, when you go to the hawkers outside the ground on game days, they still have t-shirts with his face emblazoned on it. So the same thing, you could have matches which went on for 5 or 6 hours, but particularly when either the White Sox or more so the Cubs were playing, he went completely doolally when, you know,
complete,
home runs.
Complete Harry Carey, let's have a listen.
Carlton Fisk. Facing Bob Stanley.
Hey, goes! Get out there! Back! Please, my D! It is! Holy cow! Carlton Fisk has put the White Sox ahead. A line drive. I was afraid it might not get up high enough. And the White Sox lead. Look at Fisk! Look at Fisk! Holy
Here's
cow!
Your face in, Harry. He hit a low break.
Look at the White Sox dugout.
Pure unbridled joy. And that brings us to that question. It's a moral question, really. You know, you've got the professional sports commentator, but what if that person is also a fan?
Which is the case there, because I can guarantee you, if that was the Yankees scoring a home run against the White Sox or the Cubs, Harry Carey wouldn't have been that passionate. I think there is a point at which, like, ultimately, those of us who work in sport, we are lucky enough that we have been fans first and foremost, and then we manage to turn it into our profession. And we try to be impartial and we try to be neutral. And maybe we're more critical of people because we, you know, are so invested in it. But then there are times that you just need to let the emotion run over you and you just need to concede and say, I am here and I am full of love and joy for someone else fulfilling their dreams. A couple of examples of this. One particular one, longtime Dublin resident at one stage, Damon Hill, who became Formula One world champion back in 1996, and the iconic Murray Walker on duty for that.
This is something that many people didn't think could possibly happen today. They thought Damon would drive a cautious race, but he fought. He fought from second on the grid. He passed Jack Villeneuve. He took the lead. He stayed there. And Damon Hill exits the chicane and wins the Japanese Grand Prix. And I've got to stop because I've got a lump in my throat. I must confess I have a very soft spot for Damon, and it has been magnified as a result of his achievements here.
I think you could forgive anybody for that. Now, let's move to the totally unexpected, and this is Micheál Amuraharthy, and people might remember this one.
Run into the back of the net by Henry Shefflin. Henry Shefflin was there. The high ball in. Dara Ryan was there. And Henry ghosted in from behind him. 218 to Kilkenny and 211. Well, there's a streaker on the ground now. He must be a Kilkenny man because he's quite happy with the situation right now. He's on the 60-yard line. The play's on the other side of the field. The ball now on the 50-yard line. Sent back inside. Picked up again by James Ryle. James Ryle gets it out to the corner. Sent down the field. If the streaker doesn't mind, should be going over his direction now. He sees that. He sees the danger. He's moving out the field now towards open territory in the far side of the field. And the ball goes out over the line. Hogan stands side of the field. The stewards are moving in on him now from all sides. The hurlers are ignoring it. He's now gone past the centre of the field. Nearly to go out of Hornichie. Better people a she clown well over. He's dodging his way, trying to get away now from the Moyer. He has made a good run. He's on the 50-yard line, the other side of the field. He brought to the ground. Play is being halted here. This is not the referee's business. He's quite happy to wait until the pitch is cleared. On streak and a gemacht then born.
Oh, I don't want it to end. I don't want it to end.
Which is, this is the clip I always play to media students anytime I'm invited to chat somewhere, is there are people who aren't into sport, but you have to appreciate, always expect the unexpected. And that is the beauty of this form of broadcasting, is that it is so instinctive and you quite literally never know what is going to happen after the game starts.
Ready for anything. And who better than Micheál O'Mahony?
I should apologise to Micheál, because of all of the iconic clips that I could have played of arguably Ireland's greatest ever commentator, that was the one I chose for.
I'm sure he'll forgive you, Damien.
I hope so.
Thank you so much.
Thanks,
and we look
Claire.
Forward to part two of that which you've now promised to us. Damien O'Mara, RT Sports presenter. We'll take a quick break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.